The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We'll stick with the world of politics because the Dáil this evening debating new legislation to deal with immigration, including Ireland signing up to the EU Migration and Asylum Pact. Barry Ward is a Fine Gael senator, co-chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee as well. Senator, you're welcome to the show. So what is this pact? People will have heard mention of it, but what is the relevance of it getting cabinet approval today and what will it change in this country?
Well, the first thing is there's an awful lot of misinformation out there about it. It's essentially, it's a pact across the European Union to deal with the pressures of migration and asylum of people coming to Europe's borders and obviously transferring within Europe as well. It's a mechanism that has been designed at European level to streamline the processes within Europe to help all member states. So this is a problem that exists across the continent. It's something that every country is struggling with, including Ireland. The notion that we would want to go at this alone is a nonsense. We need the support of the European Union. It gives us access to a number of things, like, for example, the Eurodac database, which shows us where applications are made in other countries for asylum. It gives us access to a European Commission budget to help us deal with it. It puts in place streamlined targets for when, how long applications will take and that kind of thing. But most importantly, it gives us access to a solidarity mechanism that allows us to decline to take relocations from the rest of Europe, or indeed if we feel that there simply is not the capacity to take someone, not to take them, but to pay for them to be taken by another European state.
And without signing up to this, could we not refuse to take people from elsewhere in Europe?
No, we couldn't. And that's the difficulty that we have. So what we're doing, we're essentially going into a pact with our colleagues and our neighbours in Europe to allow us to spread the load across all those countries. If we were to go this alone, we would not be able to refuse relocations, for example. That's people who have applied for asylum here and gone to another European country. We would have difficulty returning people who came here seeking asylum, having been granted asylum in another European country. So there are all kinds of blocks that exist if we don't sign up to this pact. This pact is good for Ireland, and there are lots of people saying that it'll do X, Y, and Z, most of which is untrue. The reality is the government is signing up to this because it makes sense and because it benefits our ability to deal with a crisis that's coming down the track.
Does it outsource some degree of our sovereignty?
I don't think so. I mean, being part of the European Union is all about being part of a club of similar, like-minded members in relation to various different policy issues. We have benefited almost exclusively from being part of the European Union. We have benefited in terms of, I mean, the most recent example obviously being COVID and the access we had to vaccines, but being part of a larger group, a trading bloc, but a group that also shares policy objectives and wants to get things done in a way that benefits us all, is always going to be good. We are very small in the context of Europe population-wise, even economically. Even though we're very strong, we're only a tiny cog. Being part of that bigger wheel makes us much more powerful in the whole and it gives us greater capacity to deal with problems that we have to face.
So we can refuse to take people as part of these relocation schemes. We have access to funding that might help us kind of put in place the resources and infrastructure. And we've got access now to this database, this information database, so we can see that kind of Barry has travelled to Ireland through kind of Germany and France. Is that the idea?
Exactly.
And then that facilitates us saying to Barry, sorry, but you shouldn't be claiming asylum here. You need to go back to Germany or
and
France.
And it allows us to do it faster. So as it stands now, that person has to be allowed to land in Ireland.
But we can work that out already without doing this, can't we? Because there's no direct flight, say, from Afghanistan to Dublin.
There aren't, that's right. And many of our, if you look at the top countries from which people come, most of them don't have direct flights to Ireland. But if they come to us via Frankfurt or Schiphol in Amsterdam or Charles de Gaulle in Paris, whatever it might be, they don't have to apply for asylum in those states. They can still come here on a transfer and apply for asylum here. What Eurodac gives us is a straight up opportunity for an immigration officer in Dublin Airport or Shannon Airport or wherever it might be to tap a few keys and see, well, here's Kieran Cuddy. He's already applied in Berlin. So they turn him around there and then and send him back to Berlin. Now,
but if I haven't applied in Berlin...
If you haven't applied in Berlin, you're still entitled to apply here.
Okay.
Yes. And that won't change. And no pact will change that. But at the moment, if you come having applied in Berlin, you can land in Ireland. You have to be admitted to Ireland. And that's when the process starts. Now, we aim for 90 days for somebody in that situation. And that'll be the target afterwards. But you could actually turn that person around at the border if the border officer has the information in his or her hand to do that. You can't do that at the moment.
Declan Ganley is with us, the businessman and the entrepreneur. Declan, I understand you have misgivings about Ireland signing up to this pact. Is that right? Declan, is Declan with us? I'm not sure if we still have Declan with us. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get Declan back on the line. While we do, the question of sovereignty, I guess the European project is dependent on us giving up some sovereignty in some areas, isn't it?
I mean, yes, insofar as, for example, European law is paramount in Ireland now, our Supreme Court is not necessarily where the buck stops. That's something we signed up to in 1973, so the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to go down the road that Britain has gone down, trying to recoup that so-called sovereignty. And actually what you're doing is making yourself an outlier and isolating yourself from your neighbours and your ability to deal with them. So yes, but I would describe it more as cooperation, and that cooperation gives us huge benefits. And obviously in the early years of membership of the European Union, that benefit was mostly financial and infrastructural and structural. Now the benefit is cooperational. We get access to mechanisms that exist in other states. We get access to their experience. We get access to shared burdens in terms of things. And as I say, vaccines is a key example of that.
Well, Declan Ganley is with us. Declan, you have misgivings, I understand, about this pact. Is that right?
Well, I do. A few things are happening here. There's a handover of sovereignty, which is irreversible. If a definition of sovereignty has to be that you get to decide who lives in your country, who gets to stay in your country and who doesn't, and we are handing that over to be decided by qualified majority vote, in other words, in essence, by Germany and France, and we will no longer have that power in Ireland. And that is a massive handing over of sovereignty. Senator McDowell talked about this in the Shannon a few weeks ago, and I'd recommend that people have a look at that video and listen to what he had to say at the time, because it's very informative. Now, this was something, and as Minister McEntee said, that we agreed to in the Lisbon Treaty, but there's an important nuance here. When the Lisbon Treaty in Lisbon 2 was approved by the Irish electorate, one of the things that was stressed, and indeed it was even included in the final television debate, which I remember because I was in it, and they pointed to the fact that we had an opt-out in this area and that, of course, we would be able to use it. And I remember at the time saying that I was sceptical as to whether or not such opt-outs would be used and whether an Irish government of any time would actually have the guts, frankly, to exercise it. Mm. Now, remember, Poland, Donald Tusk, this is not a so-called, you know, right-wing, far-right government in Poland. The government of Donald Tusk in Poland voted against this. They are opposed to it. Other European governments voted against this. We are an island nation. We have a land border. Fair enough, we have a land border with the UK, but the UK is not a member of the European Union. We are an island. We are surrounded by water. We have to be able, we cannot fit into a one-size-fits-all solution. Mm. Something that's suitable for Italy or Spain or Germany, for that matter, is not necessarily going to fit with Ireland. That we keep and maintain sovereign control over those decisions, I think, is essential. It's of paramount importance to our sovereignty.
And what, Declan, I mean, in tangible terms, just for people listening at home, like, what is the vista you fear in the future? Is it that what? That Europe will kind of foist more asylum seekers on Ireland?
One can sit here and speculate, and the Europe of today is not necessarily the Europe of tomorrow, the EU of tomorrow. We don't know who's going to be in control in France, who's going to be in control in Germany. It could go any which way. We don't know. One of the beauties of having independence, of being part of a community like the European Union, but of having sovereignty ourselves, is we get to make our own decisions on certain things like this. This is one of those key areas that we have up until now exercised sovereignty. We are about to surrender it. And rather than speculate about what bad things might happen or what could happen and scaremonger, I don't want to do that. I want to say that the competence should stay here. We are still a sovereign nation. It is better that we have it rather than surrender it to people who we can't vote out down the road. If we don't like what's happening at some point in the future about this, there will be nothing we can do about it. We will not be able to vote the people out. And that's the essence of democracy. It's not the ability to put people in office. It's the ability to remove people whose policies you do not like.
Senator Ward, why was it okay for us not to have opted into this for 15 odd years after the enactment of the Lisbon Treaty, and suddenly we're doing it now? And why as well, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Denmark have an opt-out as well, and they're not opting in.
No, well, firstly, it's not that we have not opted in so far. The reality is this pact is now coming to maturity. It's still being, in fact, only last week they published.
Okay, so that wasn't a live issue until now. Exactly. Okay, fair enough.
In terms of Denmark,
why have Denmark decided not?
Well, they haven't opted out. And you've got to remember that Denmark and Poland are in a very different situation because they're part of the Schengen area. And so Denmark has a number of agreements with European countries that are also in the Schengen area. We are not in the Schengen area. So we are not part of that European free travel zone. Essentially, because we have that open border with the United Kingdom and have since our foundation, Poland is in the same boat. So whether the Polish government voted against this or not is absolutely irrelevant. They're in a very difficult boat, a very different boat to us. They are also in a more difficult boat because they are a European frontier in a way that we aren't, a land frontier with Belarus and with Ukraine. But what I fear, actually, and you were asking Declan there about what he fears might happen. What I fear might happen is if we say, actually, we'll stand alone. We'll be our own people in this. We will exercise sovereignty. And by the way, we will still exercise sovereignty. This does not interfere with the sovereign nature of the state. We still make decisions for ourselves. If we do that, we throw away the ability to share the burden with our other European countries. We throw away the solidarity mechanism. We throw away access to the European Commission budget, which can be up to 1.2 billion euro, by the way. And we throw away the ability to cooperate with our neighbours in a way that actually helps us deal with the
difficult
problem.
But to Declan's point that once you're in, there's no going back out again. And we don't know. I mean, the elections in the UK get all the attention here. Much more consequential from an Irish point of view are elections happening in France. And we don't know what governments will be running what countries in Europe in the future. And yet we'll have ceded control of this issue.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. We don't know what the future of Europe holds, but I'd still much rather be part of a community where we can help each other to deal with problems. He's also right insofar as once we opt in, we can't opt out. But if the pact changed in the future, so if, for example, we did have a far-right government in France after the next presidential election, or if we did have far-right governments in other European countries that sought to change that pact, we don't have to sign up to those changes. If the pact changes, we do not have to go along with them. That is a simple, universal European legal concept that you don't get to change the law and say, well, sorry, you signed up at the beginning, therefore you signed up to the changes. Mm. That's not the way it works. So what we're signing up to now, and every reasonable and rational assessment says it works for us.
Declan?
Where does one start? Let me start by saying they don't need to change the law. Once it's QMV, qualified majority vote, which this moves to, we don't get to say. They don't need to change the law to be able to do – it gives them a lot of flexibility in what they could do. So, for example, one tiny example, the measure by which we will be allocated migrants under this agreement, this pact – is GDP. What is our GDP? Our GDP in Ireland, as many people know, provides a very misleading figure because we have so much money, so much business that doesn't stay in Ireland. The money passes through Ireland because of all of the multinational firms that are based here. So, for example, our GDP was 506 billion. Back in 2022, our GNI, close to GDP, was 273 billion. So using GDP as the metrics by which we get allocated migrants, we will be getting double the number, almost double the number, of what we would get if a true reflection of our economy's performance was being made. Now, that's just one small area where, for example, we should have been on top of this and made sure that the correct control mechanisms, the correct measures were being used in terms of deciding what the numbers would be that would be allocated. Now, this is just one example, and it's why you don't sign up for something where you irrevocably can't get out of it and surrender this much sovereignty without having a very, very rigorous debate. This thing's done. This is a done deal. There's nothing we can do about it now because this government has rammed this thing through. This is a debate that perhaps there even should have been a referendum on this, but there certainly should have been a rigorous public debate before the last elections. The reason there wasn't, and that they've left it until now, is they wanted to avoid that debate. And we are moving from something that is not particularly democratic to something that's entirely undemocratic once we have moved that sovereignty out of this country.
Declan Gandy, businessman and entrepreneur. Barry Ward, Fine Gael, Senator, co-chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. Gentlemen, thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.